This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال رب السجن أحب إلي مما يدعونني إليه وإلا تصرف عني كيدهن أصب إليهن وأكن من الجاهلين فاستجاب له ربه فصرف عنه كيدهن إنه هو السميع العليم صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers, sisters, sons and daughters, one of the greatest bounties that Allah has favored anyone with is youth. To be young is such a bounty that even people who spent their youth correctly and they have moved on, even they lament the loss of their youth. Can you imagine someone who abuses and misuses his or her youth, how he or she will regret it? So somebody during his youth was a good person, was a focused individual, made the best of his youth and moved on. Ask him, he also wishes, I can be young. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, نِعْمَتَانِ لَوْ بَكَتِ الدِّمَاءَ عَلَيْهِمَا عَيْنَايَا حَتَّى تَأْذَنَا بِذِهَابِي لَمْ تَبْلُغِ الْمِعْشَارَ مِنْ حَقِّيهِمَا لَمْ تَبْلُغِ الْمِعْشَارَ مِنْ حَقِّيهِمَا فَقْدُ الشَّبَابِ وَفُرْقَةُ الْأَحْبَابِ. There are two bounties. They are such. If I were to cry so much that I lose my vision, I become blind, even the loss of my vision will not express one-tenth of my regret. Generally, when a person cries for someone, he says, oh, he's really missing him. He's actually going to become sick. He's going to become ill. He's going to lose his sanity. He's going to lose his vision. If I cry so much that I become blind, لَمْ تَبْلُغِ الْمِعْشَارَ لَمْ تَبْلُغِ الْمِعْشَارَ مِنْ حَقِّيهِمَا, it will not even express one-tenth of my regret. فَقْدُ الشَّبَابِ فَقْدُ الشَّبَابِ, my youth is gone. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, from all the khulafa, was that khalifa in whose life he accepted Islam as a child. So he was in obedience. He was around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His youth was spent the best way. He was this amazing individual, the conqueror of Khaybar. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba went, and there was no victory on the occasion of Khaybar, and in the night they returned and they retired to bed. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَأُعْطِيَنَّ الرَّايَةَ غَدًا رَجُلًا يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Tomorrow I'll give the flag to a young man. This man is such that he loves Allah and he loves the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves him as well. So everybody at that night was waiting, who's going to get this honor? Umar radiallahu anhu said, مَا تَمَنَّيْتُ الْإِمَارَ قَتُّ إِلَّا ذَاكَ الْيَوْمِ. My whole life I never wanted to be a leader. I never aspired. But that day I was hoping, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this great honor, that the man who takes the banner tomorrow, victory will come at his hands. And the next day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. The point I'm saying to you, my young brother, and to you, my young sister, is that Allah has given you an age that what you can do now is something you'll never able to do. What ability, what strength Allah has given you is something you're going to capitalize on it. لَيْتَ الشَّبَابِ يَعُودْ فَأُخْبِرُهُ بِمَا فَعَلَ الْمَشِيبُ. The Arabic poet said, after aging, I wish my youth can come back to me so I can confide in my youth and tell my youth how nasty old age has been to me. Since I became old, my body is aching, my hair is falling, my teeth are going, this is happening, that is happening. when the Prophet Musa alayhi salam came with his message, the Quran said those that responded were youth only.
فَمَا آمَنَ لِمُوسَىٰ إِلَّا ذُرِّيَّةٌ مِّن قَوْمِهِ.
It was a handful of youth. And that very youth went forward and mobilized. And thereafter, Musa alayhi salam had an army of more than 600,000 people. And let me tell you something, my brother and my sister. I have kids that are of young age, and you pray for them, I pray for you. Kids around the globe are going through the same challenges, mine of their own. The kids today will prefer going round the block with their friend than going round the planet with their parent. Did you hear what I said? If your father tells you, come, we're going to Dubai. Ah, who wants to come to Dubai? But if your friend is taking you around the block, that sounds more exciting, more intriguing than to hop on a flight and go with your father somewhere. It's just, there's a disconnection. There's a disconnection between parent and child. There's a disconnection, and that is not healthy. That is not healthy. So, فَمَا آمَنَ لِمُوسَىٰ إِلَّا ذُرِّيَّةٌ مِّن قَوْمِهِ عَلَىٰ خَوْفٍ مِّن فِرْعَوْنِ. In fact, I often say to the youth that if you just withdraw from sin, you just move away from wrong, and you come home and sleep, your withdrawal and moving away from bad company itself is ibadat. So you didn't come home and make ibadah. You know, the friends are having a Saturday night, it's happening, it's a buzz, it's all doing, and then it's drugs, and then it's the opposite gender, and then it's flirting, and then it's movies, and then it's all the wrong things. You're just moving away. We all know the story of the seven sleepers, right? Surah Al-Kahf. I'm sure you heard it vaguely or actively. So there was wrong, there was vice, there was sin happening there. What did those youngsters do? They did nothing but came away from there. They said, no, we're not staying here. We're going in the cave, we're going to sleep. Allah loved their moving away from wrong and sin and going into the cave and taking amnesty, that Allah mentioned them in a chapter of the Quran. And nowadays the youth, what they do, they pop pills, they take drugs, and then they want to sleep. And then they're high and they're low, and then they're hallucinating and they're not focused. And they're doing all the crazy things. These youngsters went in the cave and Allah gave them peaceful sleep without chemicals and drugs. They were not popping pills and then going high and low. And may Allah protect. I deal with a lot of youth that have succumbed to substance abuse. And you know what's the challenge, my young brother and my young sister? The age in which you are going through, there is this element of curiosity. And there isn't the balance of sanity. So there's nothing to fear. You are at an age of you daring, you challenging, you adventurous. There's adrenaline. You want to prove others, or you want to prove yourself also. Let me try. Who said? Let's just see. Let's go for it. Let's see how it is. So often people are taken into the wrong out of curiosity. And then it becomes habit forming. And then you're addicted. So when the Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wassalam went, and the person by the name of Samiri who instigated the worship of the calf, when Musa alayhi salam asked him, why did you do this? He said, وَكَذَلِكَ زَيَّنَتْ وَكَذَلِكَ سَوَّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي. I just felt like doing it. You know, one person has a nice thing. Not just do it, just nikah it. Just nikah it. Not just do it, just dua it. The message out there is just do it. So can you imagine the world in which we live, how irresponsible marketing is? There's a young man, he's cooking thoughts, his mind is running in different, and that's the devil. When the devil wants you to do a sin, he plans the whole thing for you. I'll tell my teacher this, I'll tell my mom this, I'll tell my brother this. He works this plan out perfectly well. How you're going to hook up, and how you're going to meet up, and how you're going to flirt, and how you're going to date, and how you're going to court, and how you're going to pop, and how you're going to do this and that. He works the whole thing out. You know, like the world's going to come to a standstill. I'm the architect here. I'm designing this whole thing here. But you don't realize how naive and foolish you are. You don't know. And that's why we say that as a child, you need guidance. You need guidance. When the brothers of Yusuf, alayhi salam, they became jealous of their brother Yusuf, and they said, no, our father loves him, so we need to do something and we need to change things. It's an easy way. The father says he's afraid that the wolf will devour him. So one day we take him with us, we go on a picnic, we make up a story that the wolf ate him. So we tap into the fears of our father. You know the mind. Kids are, they got something up their sleeve. They always got something happening. So anyway, they go, and then they come back, and they drop him in the well, and because they wanted to take away their brother's father's attention from the brother. My father likes him only. As long as you believe your parent likes one child more than the other, that's a sign you haven't matured. It only takes you to become a parent to know what an absurd remark that is. How can one parent like a child different to the other? There might be isolated cases where unfortunately parents have a prejudice or they are unfair or they are biased. But by and large, averagely, every parent, Allah has made us such that we love our children equally. But that's the norm and the nature of children. No, my dad favors him, my mom likes him, don't do, I'm the black sheep of the family, I'm a delinquent, I'm a dropout, they don't like me. So I just rather just, you know what, go bust my life out here. Who cares, I slit my wrist here and I'm suicidal. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't know, maybe here the youth are better. Mufti Javed will tell me. So what the youth did, they dropped him in the well, and then they slaughtered a lamb, they took the blood, they stained it. I'm saying how when you want to do wrong, you work it out, but you don't realize the holes in your logic. You don't realize the holes in your logic. I know back home we see it, the kids, they take the drugs, then they take eye drops, they put it in their eyes, so the eyes don't look red. Then they use chemicals to dilute the urine so that when you send it to the lab, it doesn't reflect positive for the drug that you tested. Hello? Hello? Yeah, that's the youth. So I know of a youngster, the family called me in. So we needed to do a urine test to see what chemicals he was taking because his behavior was not in order. His behavior was not in order. And that's why we're having this program, and I'm talking to you frankly, because I want you to connect. I want you to connect. Today, people have gone on the internet. They've made this one their confidant, that one their accomplice. And we hear of sad stories, people committing suicide, doing strange things. We hear of intellectual apostasy, where people losing their faith through different articles, different websites, questioning their iman. So this is the time we need to connect, we need to engage, we need to find direction. So the youngster goes in the loo, he goes in the washroom, and the dad is like waiting outside. I'm waiting for a urine sample, I need to send it to the lab. We need to test you if you're taking drugs or anything. Catch the urine sample, negative. Whoa. On inquiry, what he did was, he had the window open, his brother sends his urine sample through the window. I was involved in the case myself. I personally. So he goes in, close the door, the dad is waiting here. Because unfortunately, those that take drugs, they're very manipulative. Manipulative, they lie, they distort. This is how they operate. So he had his brother outside. He passes urine, passes the bottle through there, opens the door, hears it, negative. Wait, this thing doesn't tie up. But my brother and my sister, sin is a dark road. Sin is a vicious circle. Nobody who was sin was happy. It brings you to misery. It brings you to a dead end. It brings you to abrupt ending. Wallahi ahlul layli fi laylihim aladhu min ahli lahwi fi lahwihim. The Arabic poet said, those who spend their nights in worship and devotion and who suppress their evil desires and they burn their craves and their desires and they submit it and they suppress it for the pleasure of Allah, their spiritual ecstasy is far more wholesome than the fake pleasure the sinful get dancing on the floor of the club the entire night. So the brothers of Yusuf, they come back, they bring the garment of Yusuf, masbughan biddam, stained with blood, and they like crocodile tears, you know crocodile tears? وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ. And they come to their dad in the night crying like, oh, ya dad, ya abana, inna dhahabna nastabiqu وَتَرَكْنَا يُوسُفَ عِنْدَ مَتَاعِنَا فَأَكَلَهُ الذِّئْبُ وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ. We took our brother and we were racing, and the wolf came and devoured him. And وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ. And they bring the garment of Yusuf stained with false blood. And here's the proof that the wolf ate him. Now what I said is, the devil makes up a plan for you, but you don't know the holes. You're very limited. You're thinking like this. You know, I tell you a joke, right? Because that's what you guys want to hear. Thinking out of the box. Thinking out of the box. So somebody advertises a post and is looking for some innovative people with new ideas. People who can think out of the box, who are adventurous, who got skill. So the question is, like you're driving and there are three people at a bus stand. And they want to see how you can think out of the box so that you can inject value into the business. Out of the three, one is a person who had done you a favor in life, who you owed a favor to. And you were always waiting, this man had really done me a favor, I really need to do this person a favor. And this was your opportunity. The second was a sister who needed emergency help and she needed to be admitted into the hospital. And the third was a childhood girl or boy over whom you had a crush and a fantasy. So you had this infatuation over her or over him, and you were like, always, this was my dream girl and this was my dream boy, and if I wish I can get married, and it never happened. Now these three are at the bus stand, you driving by, you can only give a ride and a lift to one person. Think out of the box, how do you do it? The first person, you really want to do a favor because he did you a big favor. The second person needs to be rushed urgently to hospital. And the third person is the dream of your life, the fantasy of your life. So a young man always got something up his sleeve. He's like, teacher, that's easy. I'll get off the car. I'll give it to the man who I owe a favor to. I'll say, here's the car. Take the sick person to hospital. And myself and her will go for a walk. Thinking out of the box. Thinking out of the box. Here's the car. I owe you. You take the car. The gentleman or the sister next to you needs to go to hospital, drop her off, off you go, and off we go. My brother, my sister, trust me, there's no joy in sin. There's no pleasure in sin. You know, I'd say to the youth, if you fast whole day, and you fast properly, you not smelling the food, you not tasting the food, and you stay hungry and you restrain yourself, then iftar time you can indulge happily. Iftar time, when you break your fast with a clear conscience, you can enjoy your meal. But if whole day you nibble, hello? If whole day you nibble, what you going to eat iftar time? There's nothing left to eat. Hello? You know what I'm saying, man? If you don't restrain yourself and you don't behave yourself, then at iftar, what will there be to do? But if you control, you manage yourself, you behave yourself, you restrain yourself, then you see the wholesome pleasure that Allah gives you. لَمْ تَرَ الْمُتَحَبَّيْنِ مِثْلَ النِّكَاحِ The Prophet ﷺ said, you will never find a stronger bond between two people than the bond marriage brings. Not anything else. I was traveling and I read this article, The Misery of a Man. So whether he got married or it was his fiance, I don't know. Anyway, he surprises his wife and he has her image tattooed on his back. Right? Now you know, tattoo is a very painful process, and of course for Muslims, tattoo is not permissible. Al-washimat wal-mustawshimat wal-namisat wal-mutanammisat. So he has his fiance or his wife's image tattooed on his back. It cost him 8,000 euros. Article I read. The day of her birthday, she elopes and leaves him for another man. Now, if he keeps it, it's painful. He take it off, it's painful. And these are the stories happening every single day. Every single day, back and forth. Coming back to this incident, they bring the garment, they give it to Yusuf, Yaqub alayhi salam, and they say, listen man, you know what we said, we're sorry, forgive us, this is what the wolf did, and here's the garment. So Yaqub alayhi salam looked at it, and he said, oh wow, this wolf is so intelligent. It looks like it systematically unbuttoned the shirt. It stained it, but it didn't tear it anywhere. And they're like, whoa, 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 where? We didn't think of that. We messed it with blood, but we're supposed to rip it. Because a wolf is not going to open it. What I'm saying to you is, when the devil makes you do a wrong, he gives you the notion that you've covered the holes. But you don't know how flawed your logic is. You don't know how shallow your thinking is. The one above you has been through it. He's advising you. He's advising you. He's telling you, this is not the way you love. I've been through youth. He's telling you in strength. In English they say, just when you realize your father was correct, you have a son in your house who thinks you incorrect. Just like when you grow up and you mature, no, my mom was right, and your daughter is, mom, you don't make sense. Oh, my daughter, I just got over that between me and your granny, and now you're telling me that. Just when you realize that what the old folks were saying, you know what I always say to my sons, and I'm on your level in the sense, my eldest is 21, my second son is 19 and 17, and pray for them. So I know what these emotions are. Well, I think I know. I don't know, but I hope so I know. I always say to the youth, I said, see, whatever your father told you, and whatever your teacher told you, and whatever your senior told you, the reality of that will dawn upon you. That's life, as you move on. You know, Muhammad Ali, the boxer, this one statement of his always resonates with me. It's a very profound statement. He said, the one who views the world at 50, the same as he viewed the world at 20, has surely wasted 30 years of his life. The eye at 20 is very mundane, is very materialistic. This is how it's driven. The world, the absolute. It's all about brand. It's all about color. It's all about fame. It's all about impressing. It's all about this. But as time evolves and you start growing and you maturing, you look at the same thing with a very different eye. You start looking, really, is it worth it? Do I go to this level? To what extent? So if you viewed the world at 20, and at the age of 50, you viewing the world the same, you wasted 30 years. Because your outlook of life has to change. Your outlook of life has to change. So whatever your seniors told you, with the passage of time, you will realize they were correct. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt. And for all I care, they have forgiven you as well. The challenge is when the reality dawns upon you. I don't know if you will able to forgive your own self. There's a friend of mine's. He always talks of this, and whenever he talks, there's a crack in his voice and there's a tear in his eye. His dad told him to cut his hair. I don't know here if they have all these funky hairstyles or they don't, you know. Almost like the barber made a mistake. Like, really, take religion out of the equation. Go and look in the mirror. Just do me a favor as a regular, balanced, rational human. Sit in front. For me, that's the proof that shaitan exists. For me, that's the proof that the, like, I'm not even talking of religion or morality. I'm talking of sanity. Like, sane, balance. Go in the mirror and look. Just look at it. And then, you know, ask any 10 people who just regular, average, common, who have a balanced rationale, and ask them to decide, and you make the call.
وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ.
And then what happens to a drug addict? He starts confiding in his drug. He talks to that substance. He goes to depression, that's how he does. He feels low, he turns to that. That's escapism. That's not solving the problem. That's camouflaging it. So you drown your sorrow, you resort to that, you block your mind. That is like, for example, your car is not working and it's making a strange sound and you can't trace it. So someone says, hey, I'll give you a good idea. The next time you hear the sound, just turn the volume of your radio louder. Say, hey, yeah, you're right, it works, man, it didn't cost me any money and I'm not hearing anything. You're just camouflaging it. You're just hiding it. By you sniffing, by you popping, by you doing something else, you're going nowhere. And remember, sin is a vicious circle. So this friend of mine tells me his dad told him to cut his hair, and he's like, no. No. You know, it's just this defiant attitude. It's just this aggressive. It just wants to challenge. It just wants to oppose. Who you to tell me? How dare? Why? In an Islamic environment, and this is what draws the distinction, and listen to me clearly, my brother and sister, my son and my daughter. Islamically, you're told, when you're 11 years of age, this is your responsibility. When you're 12 years of age, this is your duty. When you're 15 years of age, this is what you owe your parents. When you're 17 years, this is what you owe your neighbor. When you're 19 years, this is what you owe society. I'm just giving loose examples. And the mindset today in the world is, when you're 10, this is what your mother owes you. When you're 11, this is what you ask your father. At 13, you demand. At 15, you take legal action. Welcome to the new world. Yeah? So the child of today is growing up believing society owes him everything. While a Muslim child grows up understanding what he owes the world. There's a big difference between the two. You know what's the problem today, my boy and my girl? We have a society that are too big to be small and too small to be big. When you want to hug them, no, I'm not a kid. And you say, well, you're an adult, then it's time. No, I'm having a gap year. I'm like, yeah. I'm finding my balance. Like, Allama Busairi says, the human ego is like the ostrich. The human ego is like the ostrich. Now, the ostrich is the fastest two-legged animal. It can sustain 80 kilometers. The fastest two-legged animal is an ostrich. I have an eye for wildlife and I read these documentaries and it's very intriguing and riveting. But anyway, that's besides the point. So when you tell the ostrich, listen, I need to load on your back. Back off, man. I'm not an animal. I'm a bird. We don't carry loads. Okay, it's time to fly then. Back off, I'm an animal, I'm not a bird, we don't fly. Like, what are you? Come here, my baby, I want to hug you. Hey, Uncle Mom, but I'm not a baby anymore, thank you. Okay, listen, I need you. No, go tell that to your son, I don't work. So we have this generation gap that doesn't know where they belong. And wallah, this has caused havoc on the earth. It has caused havoc on the earth. They don't know where the responsibility is. Aisha radiallahu anha was widowed at the age of 18. Widowed. Nabi Sassam passed away. She was widowed 9 years in the marriage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his close proximity. At the age of 18, when she was widowed, she had memorized and committed and conveyed more than 2,800 ahadith. She is from the Mukthirin Ruwat. She is amongst those who goes down amongst the Sahaba who narrated abundance of hadith. 18 years old, she has captured more than 2,800 hadith. Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu says, Mashtakala alayna ashabu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shay'an illa sa'alna Aisha. Whenever we had complexity and difficulty in resolving a hadith, we would knock the door of Aisha radiallahu anhu. She would resolve the complexity for us. Young at the age of 18. When Usama bin Zayd was dispatched in the expedition in the fatal illness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that expedition was Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. Abu Bakr was 61 years of age because his khilafah was 2 years, after which he passed away, and he passed away at 63. So he was part of the army, and this army was dispatched by the Prophet of Allah under the leadership of Usama ibn Zayd, and he was 17 years old. And you had legends and stalwarts and giants and veterans and luminaries like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. These were our glory days when the youth were driving us, when the youth were making us proud, when the youth had vision and talent. I'm saying to you, my young brother and my young sister, ask any person, everybody wants to be young. That's the world today, you know. Nobody wants to be. They say in English, when somebody tells you how young you look, they're also telling you how old you are. Hey, you look young. You're not young. You look young. They're telling you how old you are. Before you know, the time is gone and it just slips by. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ يُقَرِّبَانِ كُلَّ بَعِيدِ وَيَبْلِيَانِ كُلَّ جَدِيدِ وَيَأْتِيَانِ بِكُلِّ مَوْعُودِ. Don't you see how the rapid turn of night and day is bringing every distant thing close, making every new thing old, and bringing everything on its appointed time? So my message to you, my young brother, my young sister, is value this youth. How you can win Allah in this time, nobody else can do it. حدثنا هيثم قال حدثنا إسماعيل بن عياش عن عبد الرحمن بن عدي البهراني عن يزيد بن ميسرة أنه قال إن الله تعالى يقول أيها الشاب التارك شهوته لي
المتبذل شبابه من أجلي أنت عندي كبعض ملائكتي. Ahmad, Imam Ahmad says that I heard from Haytham. Haytham said I heard from Ismail ibn Ayyash. Ismail ibn Ayyash said I heard from Abdurrahman ibn Adi al-Bahrani. Abdurrahman ibn Adi al-Bahrani said I heard from Yazid ibn Maysara. Yazid ibn Maysara said that Allah says, O young man, in his youth, manage your youth, restrain your youth, control yourself, clip your wings, restrict yourself, and yourself and my malaika will enjoy the same rank. Can you imagine you elevated to the profile of the angels, that pure celestial creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because you're going through a hormonal spurt. You're going through a hormone change in your body. Your body is going through so many things. All your strength is at optimum. There's just energy that is budding in you. And intellect has been suppressed, has been overpowered. And that is why, if you control it, amongst the seven people that will be given shade on the day of Qiyamah, شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ, a young man who spent his youth in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to mention one ayah and wrap it up, and then if anybody has some questions, inshallah, we will entertain your questions for you, inshallah. Both the brothers and sisters, to the best of my ability. So, the nature of the devil is, he comes and he whispers, do it, ah, it's fine. Hey, I'm feeling depressed. Yeah, I just need a lovely massage. Right? Yeah, I just need a... My hands are itching. I mentioned the other day, this youngster, he says, I had this contact with the girl and we broke up. And then he says, now, we don't speak, but when I get up for tahajjud, I send a message and I wake her up for tahajjud. I'm like, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. Was I supposed to like, wow? I said, brother, look at how the devil sugarcoats it. You shouldn't be talking to her. You shouldn't be having any contact. You're doing the wrong, and then you're trying to appease yourself. So the devil is very, very smart. The devil is very, very smart how he operates his moves. كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ اكْفُرْ. The example is like the devil, he says, make disbelief, make kufr, do wrong. So before doing a wrong, the devil kind of gives you this adrenaline. He gives you this push. He gives you this thrill. He gives you this fantasy. Just do it, man. You're going to see how good you're going to feel. While you're perpetrating the crime, you feel cool about it. And remember the Prophet ﷺ said before Qiyamah that man ashrafa laha istashrafathu. That sin will be such, if you will like peep into it, you'll eavesdrop into it, you'll probe it, it will just draw you in. How often curiosity, while surfing the net, gets you onto a website? Okay, something pops up, let's just see what's it about. Singles, dating, online. And suddenly you're just drawn into it. And that's what Prophet ﷺ said, if you peep, it will just swallow you, it will just suck you in. It will just take you in. So the devil tells you, before the battle of Badr, the devil came in the form of Suraqa, who was the leader of the Kinana tribe. And he came to Abu Jahl and he said, don't worry, don't panic, we're with you. Before you committing a sin, you feel the sense of togetherness, you feel the sense of moral support. Your body is running with full energy. You're not feeling low, you're not feeling lame, you're not feeling depressed, you're not feeling... And let me say one word. The scholars tell us, before committing a sin, you must focus on the punishment of Allah and not the forgiveness of Allah. If you focus on the forgiveness of Allah before committing a sin, your minor will become major. Allah has forgiven those that made zina. I'm not doing zina, so it's fine. I'm okay, I'm not so bad. Before doing a wrong, focus on the wrath, the punishment, the torment of Allah. Yes, after you've committed a sin, now you focus on the mercy and the clemency of Allah, so you don't go into despondency. So he came in the form of Suraqa and he told Abu Jahl, don't worry, I'm with you. Allah speaks about it in the 10th juz in Surah Anfal. وَإِذْ زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ وَقَالَ لَا غَالِبَ لَكُمُ الْيَوْمَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَإِنِّي جَارٌ لَكُمْ فَلَمَّا تَرَاءَتِ الْفِئَتَانِ نَكَصَ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ وَإِذْ زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ When the devil beautified. In one narration it comes, خُلِقَ إِبْلِيسُ مُزَيِّنًا All the devil can do is decorate. وَلَيْسَ إِلَيْهِ مِنَ الضَّلَالَةِ شَيْءٍ He cannot mislead you. What he does is, he makes sin attractive. You know, sometimes some people, they give you a gift. The gift is simple, but the wrapping is expensive. He gives you a lousy pair of socks. Right? Nothing to write home about. Nothing fancy, but he packages it well. It's got a glitter. It sparkles. It's got a bow. It's got a nice gift bag. Curiosity, when nobody... What's inside here? I really want to get... And then you open it up and it's high and dry. I'm like, really? Wallahi, that's the nature of sin. It has a glitter, it has a glamour, it has a packaging. Inside, it's shallow, it's hollow, it's empty. I swear by Allah. Sin, chapter close. And let me be honest, my brother, you say it's difficult. I always say, we never said to give up sin is difficult, is easy. All we're saying it's possible. Nobody said to give up. It's always easier to resist temptation than to succumb to it and wean yourself off it later. We are a nation addicted by our habits. The tobacco industry can boldly print the harm of cigarettes yet not fear a drop in sales. So beware, causes cancer, not good for pregnant women, causes harm, pollutes the environment, boldly. So legally nobody can take action. The guys in the shop, yeah. So can I have two packets of the one that causes cancer, please? Nobody advertises against themselves. You drop the sales. Even if they want to have a negative, they put it in a fine print. Yeah, they put it loud, bold, on the advert. Kills, harms, causes cancer. No problem. Because people are addicted. Addicted. Allama Rumi says the man comes with a torch in the marketplace. He's shining it. People are, brother, what you up to, man? He says, no, I'm looking for humans. So I'm just looking for human beings. So he says, what are this? He says, these are all slaves to their egos. In English, they say, there's a big difference between human being and being human. Some of us are human beings, but we're not being human. We're not behaving like humans. We're not behaving like humans. So what did the devil say to Suraqa? To Abu Jahl, he came in the form of Suraqa. He said, don't worry, we're with you, man. We're with you. He gives you the sense of he's behind you. He's all the way. I don't know, are the youth here into Jameen as well? Like, big time. My own kids are into it, so I don't talk too loud about it, you know. So it's a biceps, and it's pumping iron, and it's burning, and it's, you know. Then, now once you do this here, then you got to wear those sleeveless vests. Right? You got to have those sleeveless vests. So much focus on this external body, so much. And remember, the real body is what? Not this, it's the soul. Because this outward body is changing. You look at your baby picture, and you look at, no, that's not me. No, sorry, those days the cameras were not good, man. Don't blame the camera, that's you. Nah, those days, that wasn't a 3 megapixel, man, nah. That's you. That's how you look. You can't accept it. Gosh. So that picture, that image is changing. And tomorrow it's going to be an advanced image of old age. This is just a case in the real human is the soul. Work on that spirituality. How much focus the cosmetic industry is ever thriving. I travel and I see this often. The world is driven by that appearance. By that appearance, that look. So like it's about to touch down and, you know, sit down, clear the lavatories. We've commenced our descent. And then you get this old, aged, frail, senile lady gets up. Oh, would you pass me that bag, young man? Thank you. That's so kind of you. Okay, ma'am, here's it. Right? Her hand is trembling. Now she takes her. I'm like 85 now. It's fine now. But she has to doll up before she touches down on the ground. That's the world. That's the world. That's where we are. And this is just a case in. The real body is not your appearance. It's not your six-pack. It's not your biceps. It's not how muscular. It's not how robust. It's not how impressive a woman would feel. It's not how thrilled she looked at my body. Tomorrow it's handed over to the grave and the insects feed on it. It's your soul that journeys. How much focus have we put on that? I'm not saying be negligent. The Prophet ﷺ had the best physique. He would eat little. His food was disciplined. His eating was disciplined. But to take it to a level of obsession, I'm afraid that's incorrect. To take it to a level of obsession, where you become obsessed by it. The man comes into the gym, and he asks the gym instructor, like, you know, which machine you think my wife will like? He's like, brother, your wife will like that ATM machine, not want any of these here. You'd rather take your car and go to one of those ATMs, man, not these machines. And now there's these treadmills, I see they have this YouTube on it. I was in a conference in Canada, my wife was with me. It was private, discreet, so we said, let's go. So she said, okay. So I'm there like, wow. So you run in, and while you run in, you're watching movies. Like, where's the world going? You would think, number one, running outside is much more natural. It's much more free. Because you breathe in the air, you see in the atmosphere. Here you're stagnating. So you might be doing the same calories, you might be burning the same amount. But the difference of walking around the block is far different than standing on one place and running on a treadmill. But I would think that's a moment you need to yourself, me time, and just relax yourself. Now again, even in that time, you're absorbing some other material and your mind doesn't have that moment of relaxation. So to be health conscious is integral, it's important, it's paramount, but the balance has to be in place. So anyway, to wrap up on that note, on that ayah, that the devil tells Abu Jahl, we will support you. When the army comes, then the devil who had impersonated Abu Suraqa, he flees. So Abu Jahl is like, where are you going to? Because the devil can impersonate. He can impersonate. He can give you this courage, this image. No, we're together. Get you into the movies. Get you into the haram place. Once you're stuck, you need to come out of the door. He can come out of the air vents. He's gone. He disappears into thin air. You got a family to answer. He's got nobody. Allah has given him this grace and respite. His hisab will be in Akhirah. And he will deal with his fatal consequences in Akhirah. So all I'm saying is, before committing a sin, the devil gives you this fake sense of support, that I'm with you. As soon as you do it, while you're doing it, you get temporary relief, of course, because if there was no relief, nobody would do it. So momentarily, you get fake relief. It's a fake thrill, a fake excitement. But as soon as the thing wears off, you hit a deeper depression and you drop even lower than before. And now the only way you get it back, you have to take a higher dosage, you have to do more of it, and it's a vicious circle. It's unending. And you trap yourself in this dark, miserable place. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us all. May Allah protect you all. May Allah make you cross your youth in a way that when you look back in your life, you're proud of the days that you spend. When somebody was asked, I think it was Ikrama rahimahullah, or one of the other scholars, that in the latter part of his life, Allah preserved all his faculties. He was old, he was aged, but he was healthy, his eyes, his ears. So someone asked him, what's the formula? He said, in our youth, we never disobeyed Allah with our limbs. So Allah preserved our organs for us till our last breath. In our youth, my gaze, my ears, my tongue, my hands, my legs, we did not disobey Allah with it. Allah preserved. Allah grant us all the tawfiq. Wa sallallahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.